Grace and peace to all of you gathered for worship in the name of Jesus the Christ. Welcome to worship on this holiday weekend when we celebrate the birthday of our country. For those who join worship by way of Facebook live stream, I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, along with our worship team, production staff, and congregants. Whoever you are and wherever you are along the journey we call life, we offer that warm, unconditional acceptance to all as children of our Creator God. Our special music today will be provided by you. You're going to be the special music. Oh no, I heard somebody say. No, Steve, I'm not asking you to sing a solo. But we have hymns, you may have seen in the bulletin, that we are going to do on this holiday weekend. Three special hymns that we'll sing in addition to our opening hymn, which means that you're going to get a shorter sermon. Don't all clap now, okay? So, today's liturgist is Jerry Fuller. This past week, Deanne and I, along with our friends Norm and Barb Erlinson from Stonington, Connecticut, we're able to attend the 68th gathering of the annual convention of the National Association of Congregational Christian Churches. That's a mouthful, which was held in Wichita, Kansas. And we were able to do that and attend due to your faithful kindness and generosity. And Deanna and I would like to say thank you. Following the service, we will gather in the Friendship Center for light refreshments and rich fellowship, and I will also be giving a report on our time in Wichita, and you are free to ask questions. Next week, I will resume the opportunity to begin 2 weeks that we began 2 weeks ago by interviewing someone in our congregation we want to get to know better. So if you want to volunteer for that, just let me know. Otherwise, I'll choose it myself. No embarrassment planned. I also want to thank Jen Letherer for so ably filling this pulpit last week with skill, insight, and energy. And someone made the comment very recently that it's amazing she's not ordained because she seemed to know what to do in the pulpit. And I watched later online, as some of you did, I know. And again, I'd like to thank Jen. We're going to try to do that in a more formal way. One of the great friends of our Mayflower congregation is our neighborhood president and actually founder of our neighborhood association, the Luton Rich. It's Patty Farhat, and I would just like all of the congregation to know, since she's is not an attending member here, that this Wednesday on the 6th of July, she'll be facing surgery to, I think, replace a knee. So if you want to send a card or need information to how to get that to her, that would be great. She has been an exceptional friend and promoter of our neighborhood church here at Mayflower. Our worship theme today is Risk Management in the Church, where we will examine briefly the mission we are all embarked upon in our journey of faith. Thanks be to God. Let us now worship. Thank you.
Morning, Mayflower family and friends.
Good morning.
It is good to welcome you to the service of worship on this holiday weekend. We wish everyone a very happy and safe 4th of July celebration tomorrow. Our wish for safety must include our assessment of the risk involved if we are traveling by car or airplane, taking the grandkids to the pool, or enjoying fireworks in our backyards. Our worship theme is related: risk management in the church. Jesus sent 70 of his followers on a risky mission on his behalf. There is always risk in carrying out a mission. So as we worship today, we trust that we will accept the challenges and risks involved in our mandate to continue and expand the mission of Christ in our church, neighborhood, nation, and world. Thanks be to God.
Till their hearts be
Let us pray. Eternal God of the universe and Lord of our lives, we thank you for the freedom to worship in a manner commensurate with our tradition and our consciences. But as we celebrate the birthday of our country, help us to avoid the confusion that can exist between our love of country and our love of God. While we honor the sacrifice of those who persevered for the cause of freedom, help us to know that you are the God of all nations and all peoples. While we honor those who took risks in the cause of patriotism, help us in our worship today to be inspired to take risks for the cause of Christ as we follow faithfully, serve sacrificially, and love unconditionally. Amen.
Of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally, my love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, promises I cannot fail, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my child. brown church in the vale. Oh, come to the church in the wildwood, to the trees where the wild flowers bloom, where the parting hymn will be chanted. We will weep by the side of the tomb. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. How sweet on a clear Sunday morning to this, to the clear ringing bell. Each tone so sweetly a calling, oh, come to the church in the vale. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. From the church in the valley by the wildwood, when day fades away into night, I would fain from the spot of my childhood wing my way to the mansions of light. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the
Wow, a veritable choir. You got a lot of new recruits, Barb.
Oh, good.
By the way, Does anybody know what state the little brown church in the Vale is in?
Iowa.
Iowa, yes. And does anyone know what kind of a church it is? It is a congregational church. And I see the pastor, as I did this last week at the national convention. You know what his biggest job is? Weddings. He does a lot of weddings. So, I haven't been invited there, but I'm sticking with Mayflower, okay? Well, it is not how much we give, but how much love we put into our giving. Let us now be filled with the love of God, which overflows into our lives, into our church, and into our world, as we now give of our time, our talents, our resources, and indeed our very selves to God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and Lord of life, as we have come to worship and think also about the 246th birthday of our country, we ask you to help us find rest for our souls and peace in our hearts as we've seen a dizzying amount of news in recent days. We continue to remember our comrades and friends in Ukraine whose country faces continued bombardment and devastation. We thank you for the generous and kind offering which was raised not only by Mayflower but from congregations around the world, including much from Congregationalists as we celebrated in Wichita. And yet, Lord, we know that money alone will not take care of all the problem. We pray, not knowing how to pray, but we pray for all those in Ukraine and those that support and care about freedom-loving peoples. We have seen rapid-fire rulings by the Supreme Court and decisions that cause celebration for some, yet great consternation for others as we think about the larger concerns of democracy, freedom, and a dwindling demarcation between church and state. We have seen rulings which affect our planet, rulings which affect desperate people seeking a better life in these United States. We have witnessed riveting testimony on television which has added disturbing light to the horrible events of January 6, 2021. As we have heard the news of 50 people who died in the back of a truck who tried to reach this land of opportunity, we pray, and again, not knowing how to pray, except to pray for the grief of the loved ones and the continuing difficulties in our country, knowing how to handle those who would want, as our ancestors did, to be here in this great land. So, Lord, I pray that in spite of all the political implications and prognostications, that you would help us to be sensitized again to the human condition of need, knowing in our hearts this morning the needs we bring. Help us to know that there is always something we can do about things, not only in our praying, but in our giving, our serving, our voices, and our votes. Give us courage and compassion before judgment and condemnation. In that same spirit of Christ, we continue to pray for those within our circle of love and care, including Charles Fleck, Bev Miller, Paula Finneson, Jane Robinson, Jan Holcomb, Marion Potts, and many others for whom we pray in their need, some of whom we mention now. We thank you for our meaningful tradition of praying together like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 through 11 and verses 16 through 20. When traveling, how much do you depend on the kindness and hospitality of others? Do you like to travel light, or do you take the kitchen sink? Think about this as you listen to this scripture passage. Hear now these words. After this, the Lord appointed 70, yes, I said 70 others, and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. And whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Thank you for the inexhaustible source of sacred scripture. Bless now these humble words offered. Amen. Assessing risk is, for most of us, a daily activity. We assess risk in the caution we use when we drive an automobile, cross a street, mow the lawn, shovel the snow, climb a ladder, or set off fireworks in the backyard. Deanna and I were invited to a celebration where about 5 miles from where we live, where my nephew had a next-door neighbor. They've been working on this for weeks. There were $5,000 worth of fireworks put off in the backyard of a house. It was the most amazing residential fireworks show we have ever seen. Now, regardless of our tolerance for risk, most normal people have some degree of risk aversion. There is something in all of us called preservation instinct. It is why measurable responses follow a crisis event where our lives come into danger. A couple of weeks ago, I took our good friend Gene Flynn to an eye appointment at the Kellogg Eye Center in Ann Arbor. Coming home on US 23 just south of Brighton, driving north and driving her car, I was in the left lane within the flow of traffic, which was heavy, as it usually is as you approach that I-96 left lane exit. All of a sudden, the traffic ahead was quickly coming to a dead stop. I had just enough space between us and the car ahead to safely stop, but there was a very nervous moment as I heavily applied the brakes. I was going to be able to stop, but as I glanced in my rearview mirror, I realized that the vehicles behind me were not. As I quickly assessed the situation, two cars from behind careened onto the left shoulder. Other vehicles traveling too closely behind the one in front of them were not going to be able to avoid hitting us. So with just enough room, as I had been monitoring both lanes, as I had been taught to do and taught others to do as a CDL driver, I swerved into the right lane as I heard the crashing of vehicles in the lane I had just exited, including a towed camper unit that was instantly destroyed. Fortunately, the accidents did not appear to have caused any life-threatening injuries, but it took quite a while for my blood pressure to settle, as Gene and I thank God for the protection from potential disaster. I know some of you have been there. Life itself is a risk, is it not? Things get murkier, however, when assessing risk in discretionary activities. I admit it, folks. I was born with an above-average sense of risk tolerance, which increased when my father, who had a high tolerance himself, challenged me to climb high on ladders, drive with assertiveness, and venture into the unknown, often without a full assessment of the risks involved. You can imagine that my mother spent many hours worrying. Now, there is a principle involved regarding some of the leisure activities I have participated in over the years, many of them since middle age. And I say since middle age because sometimes you think you're middle age and all of a sudden you realize it's not middle age anymore, right? Some of you have been through that. So, I have climbed some dangerous volcanoes when one step would have sent me careening down the side of a glacier. Backpacked long distances alone in remote wilderness, had close encounters with dangerous wildlife like bears, flown small airplanes, and traveled thousands of miles on a snowmobile. Now, the principle is this, and it's mine. You can see how this measures up with your principle. The level of fun and achievement in life is commensurate with the level of risk. So whether you jump out of airplanes or operate a sewing machine, we are always assessing, then assuming risk to achieve, produce, have fun, or just survive, as the case may be. But in this passage, there is another kind of risk. Jesus sent his disciples first, earlier in this narrative, then 70 followers on risky missions to prepare for the arrival of Jesus. He told them to travel light, and you heard the narrative. Don't take much with you. Speak peace to everyone, and be utterly dependent upon the hospitality of others. Have you ever seen the series on Netflix entitled The Kindness Diaries? It chronicles the travel of Leon Logothetis, who quit his job as a London broker and with a grand total of $0 in his pocket and began a several-year journey around the world, depending entirely on the kindness and generosity of strangers. His journey commenced in 2013, and by 2017, he had visited at least 100 countries. He was on a motorbike. He writes about some of the lessons he learned. And here are a few of them. True wealth is not in our wallets, but in our hearts. Making a big change is a risk, but doing nothing is a bigger risk. Don't put too much stock in what other people think. He was highly criticized for this. And four, budget travel isn't just good for your wallet. The very existence of the church is our mandate to carry out the mission of love and service in the name of Christ that began 2,000 years ago and continues to this day. And it always involves risk. What are those risks? Well, beyond the obvious risk of danger or the risking of one's life, we risk embarrassment, rejection, and discomfort, especially when we are asked to rely on the hospitality of strangers. Even a good idea like volleyball in the neighborhood can cause embarrassment and rejection. Do some of you remember that? Was it volleyball that we thought about doing a few years ago? And it was not received very well in the neighborhood. That was before I came. I don't know. I'd still like a good volleyball game out here. We never know. Well, things have dramatically changed concerning the work of a pastor in my lifetime. When I began in the pastorate many years ago, albeit in a different tradition, I would often get in my car, go out and knock on the doors of members, prospective members, and community members, usually arriving unannounced. Sometimes I would go door to door trying to share Christ and talk about the church. In today's society, however, people typically put a higher premium on privacy. And even though a pastoral visit might be nice, some people aren't always prepared for a pastoral visit. The mission of the church in concrete forms and specific activities changes from generation to generation. Embedded within this narrative are the instructions Jesus gave to the 70 not to move from house to house, but to stay and cheerfully accept the hospitality of those who welcome you, eating and drinking whatever is provided. Traveling light with minimal provisions can make us modern independents feel vulnerable. Do you know what I mean? It is risky learning to depend on the hospitality of those who will receive you. Now, Deanna and I are fully capable to pay our way in life as God has blessed. Yet, we both have learned new lessons regarding the kindness and hospitality of folks who are at once strangers, the members and friends of the Mayflower Congregational Church. Now, this dependence Jesus promotes is not about mooching or begging. Rather, this concept is woven into the fabric of our universe and is one of the very first expectations and indeed implied law that we read about in the opening pages of the Hebrew Scriptures. It is reciprocal in nature, and it is at the heart of what Jesus taught. However, we must not give in to the instinct that the work of the church always involves politeness and diplomacy, avoiding difficult issues by keeping the peace. In the current political and social context, protest has reemerged as a strategy for change. The good news of the kingdom should engage protest, however risky that might seem to us. We are often called to confront in public the way of life that poisons and possesses, including the path which is obscuring the separation of church and state on this 4th of July weekend, which our congregational forebearers sought so hard to establish. And in the shifting landscape of churches closing their doors and selling their buildings, Jesus calls us to eat and drink with members of other congregations who may need us, and indeed we them. Our resolve, our determination, and our willingness to share and demonstrate the provocative demands of the gospel is evidence when we share the love of Christ, which casts out all fear, including the fear of embarrassment, rejection, and discomfort. Even the fear of death is vanquished when we are sent as lambs, Jesus said, into the midst of wolves. Sometimes the wolves prevail when we experience rejection or opposition or experience loss. We will not always succeed, but we will keep going forward. When hospitality is hard to find, we are reminded that there is always set before us a table in the presence of our enemies. In the closing verses of this passage, there is a difficult narrative concerning the authority given the 70 and to us that even stepping on snakes and scorpions will do us no harm. We do not take this literally, nor should we. I wouldn't advocate you going out there and stepping where the rattlesnakes are. I've lived in rattlesnake country, and I avoided them like the plague. Rather, as the text reminds us, our authority rests on our ability in the name of Christ to bring healing and peace. In the end, we come back to the table grace of hospitality, which is modeled by Christ himself, where indeed we receive forgiveness, wholeness, and acceptance. And before we complete a mission, we need to remove those layers and guilt and shame so that when we go on mission, and our mission of our daily lives and those we encounter, we're able, with our love and care and grace and forbearance to others, to help them remove those same layers of guilt and shame that affected us. We then accept our God-given mandate to be the healing, reconciling agents in this world. We do not flaunt this authority given to us by Christ. Rather, we receive the peace of God with humility, then pass it on with the knowledge that our eternal destiny is secure. Thank you, Mayflower, for joining and supporting me in the risky, challenging, yet very rewarding work of the ministry. Thanks be to God. Let's eat. Just a reminder, I don't think anyone here has a question about it, but this is an open table. At the invitation of our Lord, all are welcome at this table. Let us share together our prayer of confession. Forgiving God, we come to this table knowing that we often fall short of all that you desire for us. Sometimes we fail both as individuals and as a community of faith. We seek your mercy and grace, and we ask you for forgiveness and renewal, that we may better follow you. In the name of your Son, amen. Hear now these words of assurance. We have this assurance that no matter how far we wander, or how far away we feel from God, we never move outside the boundaries of God's gracious love for us. We are loved, we are forgiven, and we are blessed. We celebrate open communion here at Mayflower Church in the tradition of our beloved teacher who welcomed all to the supper, even those who betrayed him or ran away in fear. So I now offer the great thanksgiving on behalf of all of us in our gathered congregation. It is right and a good and joyful thing to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest. I'll ask our servers to come forward. Hear now the invitation. We welcome you to this table, whether you are a member of this church, another church, or no church. All you need is faith or a desire for faith. This is the time when we all acknowledge our past failures, sins, and disappointments, and present ourselves to God, who offers us love, forgiveness, and wholeness. Remember, God accepts us just where we are and who we are at this very moment in our lives. And as we share the elements, it is our tradition to hold until each element, until all are served, and we will eat together and then drink together. So, on the night when he was betrayed, Jesus sat at supper with his disciples. He took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us eat together. After supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and blessed it, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it as in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Let us drink together. Salvation, Candy. Ruth, cup of salvation. And Mary, the cup of salvation. Let us now drink together. Now we share together the prayer of thanksgiving. Let us pray together. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this memorial of your love and have granted to us the presence of your Son, even Jesus Christ our Lord. And we ask you to strengthen our faith in you and to increase our love toward one another. Through him, our Redeemer. Amen. Like say thank you to the servers. God bless all of you.
And now we're going to switch gears a little bit. We want to send you off on a glorious time. We celebrate the birthday of our country by singing a song that, I'll be honest with you, I wish was our national anthem, America the Beautiful. And watch Barb, this is a kind of a stirring rendition. You can participate as you are able and sing the beautiful song from our hymnal, America the Beautiful.
America
Wow, that ought to make your fireworks display a little brighter. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit. Amen. Go in peace.